calling to order the 1406th meeting of the Board of Directors. May I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of the agenda?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
We have minutes from the board meeting of March 26th and minutes of the executive session on March 26th. I may have a motion to approve those. Is there a second?
Second.
And all in favor? Aye. Minutes are approved. Next item is public comment. We have four members of the public. Under the normal rules, will be 2 minutes each. And I will first call Marjorie Thomas Barnes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Marjorie Thomas
Barnes. Is your mic
on? Can you hear me now?
Thank you.
Okay. My name, again, is Marjorie Thomas Barnes. My concern as a citizen is the X2 and the X8. The times of arrival is crucial to a lot of the residents there who works. Many times, and on a daily basis, they're late. The X8 should have been there this morning to pick up a rider and was 20 minutes late. Should have been there at 10 o'clock, didn't arrive to 10:20. The X2 is overcrowded every day. On the weekend, I know they have smaller buses. It should be larger buses. The weekend, people shop. There are events that's happening. Why send a small bus when you have over 50 people waiting for a bus? And that particular short bus is not going to accommodate those who need to get home. And I'm just asking the board to actually really look into this. We've had meeting in our community with Metro has come out, and they said the bus is on time. I ride the bus 7 days a week. You don't. So you can't tell me when the buses are coming. I've notated quite a few things, even during the wintertime. Not the snow time. I'm talking this basically winter, when it should have been picked me up at 8:40. I didn't get to work until 9:25 when I was due to work on the X8 at 9 o'clock. And from Union Station, I could walk 5 minutes because I'm a walker. And I'm just asking that please check into these allegations that I'm giving to you about these buses, because we need to get there. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll ask the staff to take a close look at that. Gloria Hightower?
First of all, good morning, and this is my first time before the WMATA board. I am so elated as I stand before my legislator, the Honorable Jack Evans, the longest serving council member in Washington, D.C., and I am a proud resident. Also, greetings to the executive director, Mr. Downey, and the committee head for safety security, as well as the entire ensemble and visiting assembly. As the co-founder of the Friends of Carter Baron Foundation of the Performing Arts, I have to today utilize all buses. And as a native, proud, gorgeous, may I say, resident of Washington, D.C., it is important to talk about that X8 and to come up with a sound resolution. When my first cousin's son has moved in that location and he has seizures, but he's a dental assistant. So the area is improving with a mixed and diverse community. With that being said, that X8 bus must stop from being operable Mondays through Fridays at 10:23 and ending on Saturdays and Sundays at 9:23. I'm asking you intelligent WMATA board members to at least allow that bus. And Jack, I tell you, we need some more money. We need some more money. But that bus does need to at least go Mondays through Sundays to 12 midnight. It gives everybody an opportunity to utilize it. I may get off work because I deal, as you know, legislator, with youth in the citywide. And I may be leaving work at 10. So I would like to know that the bus route that I like to use is accessible, because I'm a little afraid of the X2. And that's all I'm asking you to do, to please extend the hours of the XA to at least 12 midnight. And God bless you all. And thank you so much for the time.
Mr. Requa, in the next round of board cycle, we will be looking at the mid-year service reduction, service addition, right-sizing of the system. So this is something you'll take a look at in that.
We'll add that too. Right. Include that in the list, yes.
Yeah, to our review list of changes we can make without having to have additional funding.
On both services that have been
services.
Mentioned.
Yes, thank you. Tony Talley. Tony Talley? Not speaking. Okay. Alvarado Cajun?
Good evening. My name is Alvarado Cajun. I am here today. This is my first time here. I've been here. There's two major things that I want to talk to you about. And the first thing is about fares, and the other thing is about bikes into the train. And, I believe that, according to the fares, I believe that not everybody has accessible to pay for the fares. And as a student, going to Morgan State University, and I don't have the accessibility to actually pay for all the fares. And I believe that as a student, a future leader of tomorrow, we should not be able to be paying for fares, because we are future leaders of tomorrow. And also, another thing that I want to talk about is the bike, because according to Metro, you cannot put the bike into the train from 7 to 10 a.m. and also from 4 to 7 p.m. And I'm not sure why, because I talked to one of the operators, and they told me that because the bike has some chain. But I don't think that... It's not like somebody trying to like beat somebody with a chain. I believe that I just want to ride the bike to the train. I mean, to my destination, because I don't know if you guys understand my point of view, but like I believe that like sometimes in life that as a student we should not be worrying about fares. I believe that we should not be worrying about tuition, because we are future leaders of tomorrow, and everything should be free for us, because as you guys are the board of members, once you guys retire, we are going to be able to actually, you know, take your place and be able to, you know, make this country as better. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. I believe that completes the public comment. Let me ask Mr. Sheehan from the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Posner. I guess be on the mic, you have to say.
Patrick Ovigielis. Yeah. Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We had a really good month. I'll start off with something that's very relevant to what you've all done this morning at the safety meeting. As you've heard, there are issues. We've had a lot of feedback from the elderly and disability community following the incidents at L'Enfant Plaza and Rosslyn, and some nervousness. And fortunately, the Office of Emergency Management had a workshop with our committee at our meeting this month, and they did a wonderful job of explaining all the systems that are in place for evacuation and safe evacuation for a group of us that deal with mobility issues, vision issues, hearing issues, and cognitive issues. They did a wonderful job doing that. Following that, we had our Greenbelt exercise, where we had members of our committee volunteer to participate, and we've made a commitment for all of your quarterly exercises to have people that have at least vision, hearing, mobility, and cognitive disabilities participate, so that we will learn more. People providing the resources will provide more. And we think that WMATA is moving in the right direction, and we will go out to our constituents and try to spread the word that it is really safe. The other thing that we did at our initial meeting at our most recent Metro Access meeting is talk with Mr. Kent about sustainability of Metro Access. And you've already received his initial report on accessibility for Metro Access. He will be giving you a final report that he's working on with us and with consultants at George Mason University. One of the things that we talked about at this last meeting, which is very interesting because we do have county board members on the committee. We have people with interests in housing on the committee. And one of the things that, you know, I like to use acronyms, and AAC is Accessibility Advisory Committee, but I also think about accessibility, affordability, and convenience for public transportation. And one of the ways that Metro Access is going to stay sustainable is to have alternative means of getting around for people with disabilities. And normal transit is one of those things that works if it is accessible. If the bus stops are accessible, if bus stops are close to where places that are using Metro Access are. And having the people that are working on housing and urban planning on this group going back to where they are working and continuing their zoning and urban planning to a point where you can take into consideration who's going to be living where, that's going to be a real plus for sustainability and Metro Access. Along that line, travel training is something that's really important, and I'd like to give kudos to Lynn Bowersox and her group. Those of you that pick up the Express this morning and open it while you're riding, you'll see a great ad in there about WMATA's travel training and how effective it is in getting people around. And so those are the sorts of things that, again, make our group feel really safe and really good working with you. The next to last thing I'd like to talk about is 7000 Series. You had a great launch of the new car. I go back to 2008 when I was on our work group that worked with Jeff Pringle, the engineer that was helping design the accessibility features, and then went through Ibo Ogunrende and getting the car up to what we think is about as accessible as you can get. We have a couple of more suggestions we'll make down the road. I'd also like to thank Barbara Richardson, who came on board in 2011. She's smiling, but after we finished working with the engineers, Barbara put together all the input from our committee, from the RAC, and from innumerable number of public hearings to come up with the final plan. And thank you, Barbara. You've done a great job. And you did a great launch job putting together that ceremony last week. But kudos. The last thing I'd like to do is to update you on the priority seating on buses. The work group has met with the RAC. Currently, we're dealing with FTA is in the process of rulemaking on accessible seating. And so we're trying to schedule a meeting this coming month with the RAC and with our work group and the WMATA attorneys to update us on where the FTA is as to what is required, what is requested, what is there. And since it's an FTA rulemaking process, we're moving a little bit slower than we would like to, but we are moving ahead on that process. And the last thing I'd like to do to the new members of the board is invite them to come visit us at one of our meetings. We have three meetings a month. The first Monday of every month is the full Accessibility Advisory Committee. Second meeting of every month is our Bus Rail Subcommittee. And the third Monday is the Metro Access Subcommittee. And it's right here where you have your subcommittee meetings. And feel free to come on in and talk to us and ask us to do things you'd like us to do for you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Posner. Any questions, board? If not, we look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Ms. Hermanson, Riders Advisory Council.
Good morning. Once again this month, because my full report is in the packet, I'll just go over a few highlights. I think April has been the busiest month since I joined the RAC 3 years ago for me on rec business. I think this meeting, Matt marks the 12th meeting or event that I've attended this month. And which I know pales by comparison to everyone else in this room, but I am squeezing it around a regular job. And I don't say that to complain. I say it because I just want you to know how much I am dedicated, as all of you are, I know, to the success of this organization. Now, when I was younger, I remember my mother referring to things that happen once in a blue moon. And at the start of this month, must have been a blue moon over me and WMATA because the blue line kept coming up. See, I can always find a way to bring up the blue line. It started with our monthly RAC meeting, and we had three of our riders and also representatives of a group advocating for the blue line where they wanted to speak. For some of them, it was the fourth time that they had spoken to us over the 8 months since the opening of the silver, and the result, which was overcrowding on many of the blue trains. After 8 months, they've understandably, they're not quite as patient as they were a week after the silver opened. And I think some of that is because they've seen where occasionally over time there are, if a train goes out of service for blue, and sometimes that 12-minute headway creeps up to 24 and the, or at least toward that direction until some correction is made. And there's a real concern that it's unsafe as well as just inconvenient. At that same meeting, as luck would have it, we had Sean Cannon and Jennifer Weeks from the Office of Strategic Planning, and they showed us a lot of ridership numbers about all the lines and also corroborating that the blue line does have overcrowding more than most. But the best news for those who hadn't already heard it was that the blue line was getting the first of the 7,000 series, the first of the 8 car trains that would be deployed on blue. It's a terrific start, and I know that the riders hope that there'll be even more 8-car trains for them. Not necessarily the new ones, but old ones as the new ones come in. And because those can really make a significant difference, obviously. I mean, yes, they would prefer having more frequent trains, but having a train with more capacity does so much for helping on the crowding that I know it's a big help for them. The last third event of the Blue Moon was the actual dedication that we've talked about already today of the 7,000 series. We, at the RAC, we really do recognize that this is kind of the dawn of a new era for Metro Rail, and it's introducing a large number of improvements for the rider. And I also know that's the work of very many, many hands. I can't imagine there's probably anyone in the room who hasn't been a part of making that happen. It's been a very long and complex process, and it's wonderful. So on a different subject, that same day as the 7,000 series dedication, I was fortunate to attend Jerry Robertson's presentation on proposed bus service guidelines. I actually didn't realize there was a study underway because I'd been just presentations and hearings, and I could tell that there was some very carefully thought out changes whenever a route has changed the times or the route. So I thought there already was one. But it is a great attempt to translate something as subjective as good bus service to very measurable objective, you know, how long between trains, how many people between buses, how far apart are the stops and so forth. So it's a great thing. I was glad to see. One thing that wasn't in my monthly report was about station operations. Often the RAC hears questions from riders about station managers. Why do they do X? Why don't they do Y? And I'm sure many of you get the same questions on one topic or another. So our customer committee chair, Bob Fogel, invited representatives from station operations to join us at a committee meeting just last week, which is after I submitted my report. We had a terrific opportunity to just ask a lot of questions of Rita Davis with Byron England and Shanita Bowman on all of the procedures. And they spoke of all the challenges that the station managers deal with. As a writer's advisory council, I can say that we really don't have a long list of advice to give on this subject, which is good news. What we do have is a much better appreciation of all the pressures the station managers have, which we can share with all of the RAC and share in turn with the writer community. So that's it for today. Thank you, and I'll take any questions or comments if you have them.
Any questions or comments? Again, in the coming months, we will be looking at service adjustments and assuming we might look at rail service adjustments as well as bus, and we bring something to the board to make best use of the assets we have.
Thank you,
Mr. We've come now to the chair's report. Before I give a very truncated report, in the interest of time, I do want to welcome our new board member, Tura Harley, to the board as the new principal director representing Maryland. Many of you saw her at the committee meetings this morning. She's an attorney, resident of Prince George's County. She fills the seat that was vacated by Alvin Nichols. We look forward to working with you and having your leadership as part of this board. And if you join me in the center of the room, we'll ceremonially swear you in. Do hereby thank you, and in the interest of time, I would just abbreviate my report. I would just note, as others have, the arrival of the 7000 series car last week and a very successful rollout and a wonderful first trip that I got up early in the morning to go take out of Springfield. And happy riders make for happy trips, and we certainly had that morning. And they are a very safe car, which is the other concern that we really brought about building and buying these new cars. I'd also would note, and we heard it at the safety committee, a number of additional new early action safety items that have been put in place, again, in response to what we have learned regarding the January 12th Yellow Line incident. We commend the staff for having brought those forward, and we're very supportive of what we need to do to continually improve our processes, our personnel, our equipment, everything that contributes towards a safe environment by the traveling public and certainly for our employees. So we want to keep up with that good work. And that concludes my remarks. And I'll turn the microphone over to Mr. Requa.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, also an attempt to be brief. I will defer some of my comments to later. But we do have track supervisor Michael Harmon in the room, and I'd like to recognize him. He's worked with Metro for nearly 15 years. Holding his current position as a track supervisor for just over a year now. And as you will soon hear, he's doing an exemplary job in his new role. About 5 a.m. on the blustery cold morning of February 20th, Mr. Harmon and his crew were dispatched to repair a cracked rail between East and West Falls Church. Within an hour, a second cracked rail was reported nearby just off the platform at East Falls Church. With his crew hard at work repairing the first rail, Mr. Harmon moved to the second location to investigate the break. This was at 6 a.m. with rush hour just around the corner. Cracks on both rails at the same location could lead to a possible shutdown and result in significant delays to morning commuters. Knowing this and thinking quickly about how best to manage passenger service, Mr. Harmon made a decision to walk trains over the second crack. Under his direct supervision, the rail was safeguarded and the trains were directed to proceed safely to the area while minimizing danger, delay, and disruptions to the morning commuters. Mr. Harmon stayed outside in the frigid temperatures, directing trains through the incident area from 6:04 until 7:42 a.m. when his crew worked under difficult conditions, finished repairs to both cracked rails. Today, I commend Mr. Harmon for his tireless commitment and hard work, which truly reflects Metro's mission of providing a safe and reliable transportation system for our customers. Mr. Harmon, would you please come forward to join me for a photo? Chairman, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you. And as an Orange Line rider out of Vienna who was on the train that morning, I'm very pleased that we managed to keep the system running. We'll now undertake the business of the board meeting. I'll call on Ms. Hines for governance committee report.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to excuse myself to allow Ms. Hines to give this report at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Corcoran, and thank you, Mr. Downey. It's my pleasure to bring the following item from the Governance Committee to the Board. The committee approved at its last meeting changes to the Accessibility Advisory Committee's bylaws. I'm going to briefly summarize them. We've added quarterly meetings between the AAC leadership and the Board's Executive Committee to the AAC responsibilities. We've changed the AAC members' terms from a maximum of 4 3-year terms to 3 4-year terms. We've established an attendance policy for the AAC and both of its subcommittees, similar to a policy adopted by the RAC, including a due process clause prior to the removal of a member. We've changed the officer selection process to elevate the vice chair of the AAC or of a subcommittee to the chair position until an election can be held. We've moved the rules of conduct requiring representation of physicians to the standards of conduct policy, similar to the RAC, and we've required meeting materials in an accessible format upon request, as well as a provision whereby the AAC can initiate review of its composition, structure, or bylaws and recommend changes for the board's review. With that summary, I would move approval of the revisions to the bylaws for the AAC. Need a second. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. I'm going to ask Ms. Porter on behalf of Catherine Hutchins, who is still dealing with a family tragedy, which we all have her and her family in our thoughts and prayers. But I'd ask Ms. Porter to make the report from the customer service. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Goldman. I'd like to move approval of the following action item, which was discussed at the April 9th Customer Service and Operations Committee, approval of Silver Line station names, the following Loudoun County Silver Line station names, which comply with all of the requirements of Metro's station naming policy and have been approved by Loudoun, and I received word from the Chair Kathy Hudgens that she would support this also. The two names are Loudoun Gateway and Ashburn, and I move approval of the resolution.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Finance and Administration Committee, I'm going to ask Mr. Yule as the Vice Chair to give that report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and we have two items before us, action items before us this morning. And the first one is the FY 2015 capital budget reprogramming. Staff has requested an additional $35 million in GMCO capital budget reprogramming authority for FY 2015 to move budget authority between existing capital projects with no net change to the total approved amount of the FY 2015 capital budget. I move approval.
Is there a second? This was discussed at the operation at the Finance Committee, and certain information was requested and has been provided.
Yeah, this was at our April 9th meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next item is...
Well, I have another
Yeah, is the revisions to the grant management policy.
Right. Staff also sought approval of the proposed revision to WMATA's grants management policy to reflect new board guidance on grant applications and the commencement of capital project work in anticipation of funding. And I understand that there are a couple of amendments to be offered. Ms. Hines has one.
Thank you, Mr. Downey. At our meeting, we stumbled upon a little bit of language that added confusion here in terms of our monitoring. So members of the board have before them the revised language, which council has signed off on, that clarifies that particular issue. And so with the consent of my principal member, I would move that we include this language in our action today.
This would be an amendment.
An amendment to the mock, to Mr.
This
Rules.
Is the one that was just handed out?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, that's another one.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, that's another one. Okay.
So that recognized a friendly amendment. We would include that in the resolution when adopted. And I believe Mr. Bolger had another amendment that the district wish to include.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I had another amendment. I think it got passed out. It would amend Section 201. At the end of Section 201, paren B, to include the board receiving information concerning every discretionary grant program opportunity that we could apply for in the future.
And
the general counsel has helped as long as with DC staff to craft this, Mr. Chairman.
A question on this amendment? If we're ready to include that as a friendly amendment, then I would call the question on the full resolution. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. The resolution is adopted. My paper here. Oh, here it is. Lastly, there is a consent item regarding the acceptance by the board of the 2015 Riders Advisory Council work plan, which had been discussed with the executive committee and represents the commitment from the Riders Advisory Council for the work plan that they would carry out in 2015 in support of our joint activities. Hearing no objection, that is adopted, and I will call for reports. District of Columbia. Anybody here? Yeah, you're it. Right. Maryland, Ms. Goldman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I can report that Maryland is now up to full strength with the appointment of Ms. Harley. I want to thank the governor for moving expeditiously to fill that open need. So Maryland is now up to full strength and ready to take on
Georgia. Ready to take on the issues.
Thank you.
NBTC? Corkman, any reports from Virginia?
No, no, sir.
And I have no report from the federal government. Is any other business to come before the board? If not, the board meeting is adjourned. And we'll resume the executive session.